are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and FanGraphs, where I was a RotoGraphs contributor. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Coming up on today's show, we are going to do a mailbag as we promised yesterday. These are the questions left over from last week, so thank you so much to everyone who follows me on Twitter, at Ben Caspick, and thank you to those of you who submitted questions there. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to be talking with Javier Reyes from Locked On Padres. We'll talk about that 14-year, 300-and-whatever-million-dollar extension for Fernando Tatis Jr. We'll talk about the compelling race at the top of the NL West. So be sure to come back for that. But for today, we're going to do this mailbag. So the first question comes from @Dan_man_25, who asks, how many wins do you think the Giants will finish with? And your own odds on them getting into the playoffs? So this one is a lot of fun. It has gambling implications. We talk all the time about betonline.ag, where the over-under that they do list for the Giants is 75.5 wins. That's pretty consistent, actually, with what we've seen from projection systems. Like FanGraphs has them, I think, pretty much right at 76. And Baseball Prospectus and Pecota had them, I think, even lower than that, but still in that vicinity. So I'm going to go out on a limb here, and honestly, the number that keeps coming to me as I look through this team, get a feel for this team, think about last year's team, the number that keeps coming to me is 86 and 76. Now, I know some of you may have spit out your coffee as you heard that, but hear me out for the numerous reasons why I don't think that's that crazy of a prediction. Number one, let's not forget that the Giants played well last year. They didn't just, a lot of people write off what they did last year or even conclude that they didn't have that good of a season and the only reason they were at all compelling was because of the expanded playoff field. But let me point out, they finished with a positive run differential. They were only one of six teams in the National League to have a positive run differential, i.e., they scored more runs than they allowed on the season, the 60-game season. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, their pitching would have worn down over the course of 162. But, you know, relative to any other team, they played the same number of games. They had the same kind of advantages and disadvantages. And they played like one of the better teams in the league, despite starting 8-16. And the other thing is, like, we know that the bullpen blew some games that you're going to win pretty much 99 out of 100 times. And some games you're going to win like 92 out of 100 times, 95 out of 100. There was the three Trevor Gott games in a four-game stretch. Then there was the Sam Coonrod game, and there were others also. And I think the bullpen is like very different and figures to be a lot better. And there's not a lot of reason for me to think that the offense is going to get that much worse. There's probably some regression coming for sure, but I think the pitching is that much better that I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're at least able to kind of carry over the type of baseball they were playing in the second half of last year into 2021. I really do think they got better. The thing is, there's a lot of risk with this team. Like, if they could easily have three different guys from this starting rotation go down with an injury, and then you're looking at your sixth, seventh, and eighth best starting pitchers being in that rotation. So there's the risk there, but the number I just keep landing on is 86. I honestly think there's the potential to even exceed that. This is a team that reminds me of some of these A's and Rays teams. I know some people don't like to hear that. They're going to spend... this is like the Dodgers. The Dodgers remind me of A's and Rays teams, except when they have a big opportunity to make a big splash financially, they're able to do it, and they sign a Mookie Betts. That's the path the Giants are on. But anyway, a lot of times these A's and Rays teams, when they're not going very well, projections are down on them, and then all of a sudden they come out and have a 90-plus win season. I kind of think the Giants are close to being in that same kind of place, and the hitting coaches will continue to help their hitters outperform expectations. That's the thing. A lot of these projection systems don't know that the Giants have hitting coaches who can make their players better. And on the pitching side, theoretically, they should be able to do that also. Player development is a huge focus of this team. So I'm going 86 and 76. I think it may be just a little bit short of enough to make the playoffs. I land in that like 15% chance at this point in time. I want to say 20, but I think that's, you know, if you start out the season well, though, if they go like, you know, 6-2 to start the year, all of a sudden you've banked some wins, and then I might go like 25-30%. So this is all because of the postseason not being expanded like it was last year. I think if they add a couple teams, the Giants' chances would go way up, in my opinion. So having only five teams make it, it's really tough because you can basically account for four of those teams, no doubt at all. Like the Padres and Dodgers figure, you know, someone's going to win the division, someone's going to be a wild card team. Then there's only one other wild card team available. So that would have to be the Giants in order for them to get in. So as much as I like them and I'm optimistic about this season, I think their playoff odds are still a long shot unless we can get a little bit of expanded playoffs, even just a couple more teams, and I think that would really help them out a lot. So that one took up a lot of time, so we'll do a quick one now before we move on to some of the questions that'll take a little bit longer. But Mick asks, do you have shares of any Giants players in fantasy baseball this year? Well, Mick, I'm glad you asked, because I never get to talk about fantasy on the show, but that's what I did when I was writing at FanGraphs. I was writing about fantasy baseball for their RotoGraphs kind of section of their website. So I play like kind of complex fantasy baseball. This year, the Locked On hosts are gonna do a more traditional fantasy baseball league, so I look forward to that. So looking through my 40-player fantasy league, I have Kevin Gausman on my team for $9, so that's a really nice price for him there. I have Drew Smyly, I have Drew Pomeranz, so a couple of former Giants. And I also had Mike Yastrzemski, got him for $1 last season before the year started. And then my league mates increased his price up to $17 through the arbitration process in this league. So I ended up trading him as part of a deal for Walker Buehler. So yes, I sold my soul for a Dodgers ace. So anyway, more questions and answers are coming up next. But first, one reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or even account logins. Best of all, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. All right, coming up next, a question from Pac Bell Partisan, who asks, for your money, Who is likely to have the most wins out of Anthony DeSclafani, Alex Wood, or Aaron Sanchez? So I like this question because it really makes me think. And it, you know, I don't normally think about pitcher wins. In fact, I never, ever think about pitcher wins. I would say, thankfully, as a baseball community, we've moved past the pitcher win to a large degree. I know there are going to be some of you listening who are like, the win is super important and pitchers care about it. And they do. And the fact that they care means it matters, because if it matters to them, then it matters. But in terms of analyzing, you know, it's not the most objective kind of number. So anyway, the way it makes me think is a lot of it has to do with health. It's not just about talent. And these three guys are all huge wild cards. And that's what I was saying when I was talking about the Giants' record and trying to predict it is hard, because a lot of it, like so much of it, is going to depend upon the health of these three guys and also Kevin Gausman and Johnny Cueto. But my instinct, and I'm kind of cheating a little bit, my instinct is to say Anthony DeSclafani, and a lot of that has to do simply with the fact that the Giants gave him the most money out of any of these guys. All three were signed this offseason. I know that's a little bit of a cop-out, but when you think about it, that's probably the best way to answer this question. And I'm just assuming wins are a product of ultimately which pitcher is the best. And also, DeSclafani probably has the least injury risk. In fact, definitely has the least injury risk with these three pitchers. And that probably has a lot to do with why he got the most money. And so, you know, if Aaron Sanchez is fully healthy and throwing 98 mile an hour bowling balls again, then he could easily end up, you know, as the top win getter. And you could say the same about Alex Wood. He's had some tremendous seasons. In fact, I know I said I don't think about pitcher wins, but I do believe a couple years ago with the Dodgers, he was like 16-2 or something like that. Yeah, so in 2017, he was 16-3 in 152 and a third innings. But I'm going to go with Anthony DeSclafani, simply because I think he'll be the healthiest. He's the most likely to stay healthy. And I could envision a type of Kevin Gausman resurgence out of him. He's had some success playing in a really tough ballpark. Moving to San Francisco, if he's healthy, I think there's a real chance he could be a really quality pitcher for the Giants this year. Addison asks, who do you think gets the surprise roster spot out of camp this year? So this one is tough, because I honestly think there are a lot of different guys who could end up getting a surprise roster spot. The correct answer is probably somebody in the bullpen. We talked yesterday about how the Giants have so much flexibility in their pen. There's basically four locks, and then everybody else has minor league options. And so the Giants could send those guys down and use that to bring in some of their guys on non-roster deals. So you get to keep the players that you option, and you get to keep the non-roster guys who you might lose if you didn't put them on your major league roster. It could be Sam Long, a guy who's really impressed, really, really impressed. I don't think we even got to talk about him yesterday, but he came in relief in this game on Sunday, and just, well, I think it was a bases loaded two out situation, and he just gets a K on three pitches with a blazing fastball and a huge breaking ball from the left side. So he's just really opened some eyes. 25-year-old Sam Long, grew up a Giants fan. He would definitely be a surprise to make the roster, but I think he can be sent to the minors. He's certainly not on the 40-man, but he did sign a minor league deal. A lot of those minor league deals have opt-outs, but I don't think that his did. A boring answer might be like Jimmy Scherfe or Dominic Leone. I mean, what about Shun Yamaguchi, Scott Kazmir, Nick Tropiano? It is pretty much impossible for me to tell you. But on the position player side, Lamont Wade Jr. and Jason Vossler are the names to watch. And I think the clearest path to playing time would be Lamont Wade Jr. So he's certainly not a big name that a lot of Giants fans are probably super aware of. So he would count as a surprise if he ends up on that opening day roster. But again, the Giants could just option him, and if they don't, then they have a problem, because I think there's a crunch there, and Darren Ruff and or Donovan Solano may get squeezed off the roster. It would probably be Darren Ruff. But they don't want to lose him, so they'll probably end up optioning Wade Jr. That's why I think it's ultimately going to be in the bullpen. Colbert Gobert, speaking of Lamont Wade Jr., says, if Lamont Wade Jr. were only able to A, play center field at a serviceable or better level, or B, hit for more power, but not both, is he still worthy of a roster spot with his on-base skills? Or do you think the front office will have a long look at him to give him a chance? I'm not entirely sure what the second part of that question is, so I apologize for that. But the first part, like if he's just an on-base guy with no power, but he can play a pretty good center field, or if he can't play a decent center field, but he adds some power and is an on-base guy, is he still worthy of a roster spot? And I think the answer is yes in both cases. Probably, I think you would prefer the hitting for more power, because if he's getting on base and hitting for power and playing a good corner outfield, you've got like a Mike Yastrzemski type of player. They're a little bit different. Yastrzemski is less of an on-base type of guy, except he did have a breakout in that department last year. But I don't think Wade Jr. is ever going to have that type of power. Yastrzemski has 30-plus home runs over his last or career major league games, which is about 161, I think. But I think Yastrzemski can play a serviceable center field. So if Wade Jr. adds power and gets on base and plays a good right field, I would be all right having Yastrzemski play center when there's a righty on the mound and you don't want to start Dubone. The problem, as I mentioned in the last question, is that if Lamont Wade Jr. makes the team, it's hard for me to see how Darren Ruff also makes the team. I guess like Belt being on the injured list, that could open up a spot for Ruff in that circumstance. But keep in mind, the Giants start the season against the Mariners, who open with, you know, three straight left-handed starting pitchers. So is there a need for Lamont Wade Jr. to start the year? Probably not, as a left-handed outfielder. So he very well may start the season in the minors, even if it means he may get called up like 4 days into the year. But yeah, I think option B would make him a really nice player. All right, more questions and answers are coming up next. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and baseball is here. It's right around the corner. If that's not your thing or you just want to expand your horizons, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. There's a lot of action related to baseball on their site right now, and from time to time, we're going to talk about that. We talked about it earlier on today's show, that the Giants are listed, the over-under there is 75.5. I just said I'm picking the Giants to win 86, so I think you know where I stand on that. So head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. With promo code Locked On, of course. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't forget, Wednesday is division crossover day across the Locked On MLB network. Our podcast will be crossing over with Locked On Padres. Like I said, Tatis, we gotta talk about that 14-year extension. Does Javier think that the Padres can overtake the Dodgers and have a new crown atop the NL West for the first time in over 7 years? We'll talk about that Trent Grisham walk-off home run at Oracle Park. You know, if you follow this show, you know I've been crying about that ever since it happened. Anyway, all of that on Wednesday. So tune in on Wednesday for that special crossover edition of Locked On Giants and check out another crossover show in our division to start scouting the competition. Rohan asks, if the Giants were to see Patrick Bailey killing it in the early spring/minor league season and Joey Bart not doing so well, would they consider moving Bart? If they do, what type of player could be expected in return? So this is an interesting question. The idea that they could potentially trade a Joey Bart at some point. And I want to refer you for a more in-detail answer to last Friday's podcast with Mark DeLucchi. We talked about this exact subject. Mark is an expert on all things Giants prospects, and he gave his answer to this question, which I asked him. So be sure to check that out. And my answer is that I don't think it'll be based on the spring or minor leagues, early minor league season. I don't think they're going to make that evaluation in a short period of time. Like, Joey Bart's track record is in the minors and in college is more indicative of his talent than what we saw in like 30 games in 2020 when he was rushed to the major leagues. However, I mean, so look, the Giants have an interest in Joey Bart being the best version of himself. I don't think they're going to ever sell low on a Joey Bart. So if he's struggling, that's not really the time to try to trade him. It kind of is dealing from a position of weakness. But if he's doing well and Patrick Bailey is doing well and you feel like you can bring Buster Posey back in 2022, you know, I don't know. But is it a possibility? Like, it's definitely a possibility. And that's what happens when you create depth like the Giants have created. You can have a surplus in an area, and then you deal from that surplus. And we've seen that. They did it with right-handed relief pitching this offseason in the trades of Sam Coonrod and Sean Anderson. So getting to part two, what type of player could be expected in return? A good one. A player like Joey Bart is what teams around the league covet. Young, pedigree, under team control forever. Like, these types of players are what teams value the most. Top prospects who have yet to really start their service time clock. And Joey Bart did not get a year of service time, so he's still controllable by whatever team he's on for six additional seasons. And at least two of those seasons would be at the league minimum salary, and possibly three. But anyway, so yeah, you can get a premium return for a Joey Bart. Like, when the Rays were looking at trading Blake Snell, they needed a catcher quietly. I don't think I ever said this on the podcast, but I think the Giants could have built a package around Joey Bart and gotten a Blake Snell. And it really matters the contract status of a Blake Snell. He was signed for 3 years, and those 3 years were pretty cheap years. So 3 years of a really good pitcher on a good contract, I think Joey Bart would be the centerpiece of a trade that can get you a player like that. I'm not saying I think the Giants should have done that, but I think they could have built a package around Bart to get a Blake Snell. I think they would be more interested in probably prospect for prospect and getting a stud young pitcher. I could be wrong, but, you know, pitching is not the strength of this farm system, it would seem. And so bringing in like a guy with ace potential for a team that's loaded with pitching prospects, it could make sense on a team that is also, you know, not only loaded with pitching prospects, but in need of catching help. So it's definitely something to think about, and it's definitely possible. But, you know, they're probably perfectly content with just letting Bart potentially become that best version of himself, which would be a perennial all-star if he can reach his ceiling. All right, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. We will do another mailbag on Friday, so I'm going to keep all the questions I didn't get to, and we'll have some new questions in the mix as well. So look out on Twitter for the prompt, at Ben Kaspic, KASPICK. If you're a fan of this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. You guys know it helps me out so much. Some of you have just left me amazing reviews. I read them all, even the bad ones. So, you know, I take those seriously also. I don't want them, but, you know, I respect what everyone has to say. Anyway, come back tomorrow. That crossover episode is always a lot of fun. Love doing podcasts with Javier. So can't wait for that, and I can't wait to see you tomorrow. So until then, we'll see you next time.